Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Follow the Money when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, which was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush said that what Americans wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, 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 and that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. There's no money in public business, and there's certainly no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, that's why I contend that it's time that we cashed in on our inheritance and learned how to collect those benefits of the Old Covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. And that's called real property, instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for a little more information on our CD Homeschool for Adults. That's our business school. And while you're at it, why don't you order our free General Law CD package at the same time? It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about follow the money. Follow the money. What it has to do with is, well, there was a story, I guess it was by Dan Rather, and he used to have a segment on the CBS Evening News, and he'd always use that term. He'd say, well, just follow the money and we'll find out where the graft and corruption is. Now, here in America, Americans believe in real estate like they believe in God. We Americans are religious people. 65% of us go to church every week. And we believe, you know, we're 70 million evangelicals, and we believe. And when we believe in something, boy, we just can't keep it to ourselves. We got to export it around the world. And we Americans believe in democracy. That's why we're over in Iraq, remember? Doesn't have anything to do with oil or money. Just big-hearted Americans want to spread democracy to Iraq. And when Americans believe something, they believe it with fervor and with gusto. And we believe in America that real estate always goes up and never goes down. And it's like doctrine. It's like baptism. It's like communion. It's religion. It's the way things are. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. Now, I've never met a Christian that could count. And I never met a Jew that couldn't. And Christians complain bitterly about the Jews and about how the Jews oppress us with interest and usury and business. And it just goes on and on. And I've often wondered, well, why is it that Christians can't learn to count. And I thought back on it for a moment, and I said, well, I guess it's because we've all been institutionalized here in America. I was institutionalized when I was six, spent 12 years in the institution, and when I got out, I couldn't count. I didn't learn to count until I was 37. I walked into a man's office. In fact, I was teaching a seminar down in Duncan, Oklahoma. And a man by the name of A.J. Porth came up to me after the seminar was delivered that day. I was there for a week. And he said, Mr. Gordon, would you like me to teach you about checks? Now, this A.J. Porth was about 84 years old at the time, as I recall. And he was about 6 foot five or six, great big tall guy. I'd look up to him. Well, I should have looked up to him. He was head and shoulders above me. And he asked me this question. Now, I'm about, 40 years old. I'm pushing 40. And he said to me, now, Mr. Gordon, would you like me to teach you about checks? And I remember this old biblical proverb. It said, go to the hoary head and learn. Or rise up before the hoary head. And so this man had this shock of white hair. He had all of his hair yet. And at best I was half-haired, if not bald. And so I looked at him and I said, well, Mr. Porth, I would be delighted if you would take the time to teach me what you know about checks. So I went into his office about 5:30 and I came out at 9 o'clock. And I've never been the same since. That old man taught me how to count. Now, someday I might qualify to shine his shoes. But I sure as heck couldn't have shined his shoes back in those days because I couldn't even count. And what he taught me about checks, it fits in with this whole concept over here of housing and follow the money and the Great Tribulation and the economy that we see here today worldwide imploding around us as I speak. So now gather around, boys and girls, and grab your pencils now and sharpen them up real good on both ends because I'm going to teach you how to count today. All you Christians out there, gather around. I have confidence in you. I think I can teach you how to count. And we're going to count by using a house. And we're going to go out and buy a house. And then we're going to sell that house and we're going to count it all up and we're going to see how much profit we make. So let me tell you right at the outset. And they're right at the outset here. If you buy a house, the American dream, and you buy the house for $50,000 at 6% interest with 10% down on a conventional mortgage, which is the logical way to do this, without any CDOs or ARMs, without any of the balloon payments and all the hocus pocus that have been poking at you for the last 10 years, just go out and buy yourself a house. The net result is you're going to lose money. Every single time. No American has ever bought a house on time with 10% down and kept that house for 30 years ever made a dime. I'll go a step further. There's no profit in real estate. None, zero, zilch. There's as much profit in real estate as there is in betting on the field on a crap table. It is true that there are some winners playing the field on the crap table, but they're rare. They're about as rare as a virgin whore. Now I know that sounds kind of shocking, and it's anti-religious and it's heretical. I'm aware of that. But you see, I learned how to count. And the people that are selling you those houses now, selling you all this real estate. There are people that make money in this. For instance, when you go into a gambling house, there's money to be made. The house makes money, the croupiers make money, all the bar girls make money, the whores make money, everybody's making money in here except the players. And it's the players that honest to God believe that if they gamble long enough here on the crap table, they're going to make money. It's like an article of faith. Honest to God believe that. Every gambler believes he's going to win. Hell, he wouldn't be a gambler if he didn't believe he was going to win. And every drunk believes that he's not an alcoholic and that he can sober up anytime he wants to. It's an article of faith. Everybody believes it. And when people buy a house, they honest to God believe they're going to make money on it. and then it's an article of faith. It's kind of like religion. We go to church every Sunday. We're not quite sure why. We all buy a house, and we ain't quite sure why. I went down, signed up, and bought a house. Hell, I bought lots of them. Now, unlike most people, I made a lot of money on real estate, and I still do. But I'm not buying a house, and I don't have any mortgages. And if you've got a mortgage on your house, you're just losing your hiney. Every month you make that payment, it's money down a rat hole. And I reported to you yesterday, you know, Henry Paulson, he's the shill from Goldman Sachs, that's now the head of our treasury, telling you people that what you want to do is stay in those houses. Now your God, your creator, told you not to do that. But of course, you know, you people are all smarter than God, and so that's why you went out and got a mortgage. But God told you not to pay interest and usury, and that's because of the rule of 72. So write that down. It's called the rule of 72. First lesson. It's called geometric progression. Can you spell geometric, boys and girls? Geometric progression. I know it's a big, hard term for most of us truck drivers, but let's see if we can understand this. If you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Remember when we were little kids, we were real proud, you know, when we got to be about 4 years old. I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's about the limit of our financial education. It was about age 4 when you learned to count to 10. That's called arithmetic progression. Arithmetic. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jews now all learn geometric progression by the time they're 3 months old at their mama's breast. It's called the magic of compounding. And every Jew knows how to count. And the reason they know how to count is because they can count in multiples, like 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. That's the difference between Christians and Jews. Christians count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Jews count 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. It's the only difference. All right, now, you ready for the main part of the lesson? Let's buy a house. When we buy a house, we pay 10% down. Let's buy a $50,000 house, and let's buy the house at 6% interest. Purchase price is $50,000. The year is 1955. I'm going to go back in time here a little ways. And we're going to pay 6% interest. You get 14 points here, just right near on the side of your paper here, 1 to 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Remember, you had to be 5 years old to count to 14. And so we got number one, the purchase price. Number two is the year, 1955. Purchase price is $50,000, down on your paper. The interest rate is 6%. That's number three. Interest rate is 6%. Your monthly payments are $300 a month. That's number four. This is a dream house. This is a deal made in heaven. Number five, we're going to make a down payment. It's $5,000, 10% down, $5,000. Number six, the total interest that we're going to pay on this house over 30 years is $62,100. $62,100. Number six, total interest. The total amounts financed is $45,000. Remember, we paid $5,000 down on a $50,000 house, so we got a $45,000 balance. So number seven is called the amount financed, and that's $45,000. Now we take number eight, it's called the principal payments per month. It's $125. Every month that you're making your $300 payment, $125 goes to principal, and $175 goes to interest. Let me repeat that. $175 goes to interest, $125 goes to principal. Number nine, the average monthly payments are $297 a month. Just rounded off to $300, that's close enough. Average monthly payments, number nine, $300 a month. Now, number 10, we have to pay taxes. So our monthly tax bill on this house is going to cost us $50 a month, $600 a year. Number 11, we have to pay to keep the house up because the roof doesn't last for 30 years. They only last for 20. The carpet doesn't last for 30 years. It only lasts for 10 or 15. So we have to have carpet. We have to have roofs. This is called upkeep. That's number 11. That's $50 a month. The bank insists that we have insurance on the house. So we have to have homeowners insurance and fire insurance and tornado insurance and flood insurance. And all these insurances add up to about $50 a month, $600 a year. That's number 12. Number 13, we have to pay a brokerage fee. Brokerage. So when we pay a brokerage fee, it's about 5 or 6%. So you buy a $50,000 house, it's $2,500 for the brokerage fee. And then number 14, we have to pay points, mortgage insurance, title search, closing costs. For a 30-year program, the total cost is $186,100. If you add all that up, the total cost is $186,100. All right. Now, remember, we paid $50,000 for this house. Now, one of the first things I hear about home ownership is, where would I live if I don't buy a home? Well, let's try building our own. If you were to build a house yourself, a $50,000 house, it costs $25,000 to build. $12,500 for labor and $12,500 for materials. When you buy with an 8.5% fixed rate mortgage for 30 years, you're buying one house for you at retail. And you're buying two houses for the banker at the same time. Now, I hope you build your own for $25,000. That means that's one house for you. And at the end of 30 years, that's five more houses for you, or a total of six houses. No matter how much money you make, always remember, you spend it all. Whether you're making $100,000 a year, $50,000 a year, $25,000 a year, or $12,500 a year, all of you people, at whatever level you're at, spend it all. And the man who makes $100,000 a year spends it all, just the same as the $50,000 man spends it all, and the $25,000 a year man spends it all. The $12,500 a year man, he spends it all. Now here's the trick. You save half. Cut your living standard in half, because there's always somebody out there that makes half as much as you, so you live at that living standard and save half. Say 50%. If you're making $20, live as if you're making $10. If you're making $50, live like you did when you made $25. Stop paying income tax. Stop paying insurance. Stop paying interest. Practice strict liability. No usury or interest. And then start tithing. Tithe instead of pay the income tax. Now, in less than 3 years, you'll have the cash that you need to build your home. In 6 years, you will have enough money to pay retail and have it built for you. So at the end of 3 years, or at the end of 6 years, you will own your own home free and clear. Then the next 24 years will be a profit to you instead of a loss. Now let me show you how this works. Since we believe that when we buy a house, we are going to make a profit, let's take a look at this house that we bought back in 1955. Let's suppose that you're working over at Mutual Plywood and you're making $1,000 a month, which in 1955 was a god-awful good salary, and those boys were making that kind of money. $1,000 a month. I remember Richard Van Pelt's dad worked over at Mutual Plywood. That was like the promised land across the bay. I mean, it was just $1,000 a month. Hell, when I started to work, I made $250 a month in board and room, same year, 55. So here's a man working over at Mutual Plywood. He's making $1,000 a month. Now, he wants to buy a house. No sense buying an ordinary, usual, run-of-the-mill house. So he buys a pretty splashy house for $50,000, pays $5,000 down. Now, the sale price in 1955 is $50,000, but the sale price, now remember, you're down to number 14. Now write number 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. We're up to number 25. So we're going to have 25. If you've got an 8.5 by 11 yellow pad, you got 20. 9 lines on the paper. So you should have over in the left-hand margin 1 to 14. Now, when you get down to 14, let's go from 15 to 25. 15 to 25. Number 15. Remember, we paid $50,000 for this house back in 1955. Well, in 1985, we're going to sell it. What do you think we're going to get for it? Well, if it's the average, you're going to sell it for $250,000. $250,000 is what you're going to get for this house. Five times what you paid for it. Now, remember, I told you, you're going to lose money on this transaction. Remember that. You're going to lose money on the transaction. That's because Christians can't count. So number 15, the sale price in 1985 is $250,000. Now, number 16, less the cost of goods sold, which was $186,100. That's the total amount of money that you're going to spend on this house. Remember, when you're working for $1,000 a month, you're making $12,000 a year. Remember that? So you make $12,000 a year times, let's just go 30 years, that's $360,000. Out of your $360,000, you're going to spend $186,100 on this house. That's what it's going to cost you right out of your paycheck. Fortunately for you, though, you're going to sell this house for $250,000 after 30 years. Remember? All right. Number 16, less the cost of goods sold, $186,100. Number 17, then the gross profit on this transaction over the 30-year period is $63,900. Can you say that? Can you spell that out? Total gross profit. I did all these numbers for you. Just write them down. You can check me out later and see if I'm lying to you. Number 17 is the gross profit for 30 years, $63,900. Number 18, total income per year off of this housing transaction is $2,130. So every year that went by, you made $2,130. Now, the capital gain tax on this transaction is $17,892 at 28%. And in 1985, that's what you were paying, 28%. Number 20, the adjusted net profit then is $46,008. Number 20, adjusted net profit, $46,008. Number 21, remember that $5,000 we paid down? $5,000 down. Well, in 1955, that $5,000 was equal to two 1955 Chevrolet automobiles. This is the important part of the lesson, so don't fail to put that down. Number 21, $5,000 down equals two Chevrolet cars, 1955. Number 22, $3,564. That's the price of a 1956 Buick. $3,564. That was the price of a 1956 Buick. Number 23, $3,564. That was the price of one 1957 Oldsmobile. Number 23, $3,564. That's the price of one Oldsmobile. Number 24, $11,500. That's the cost of a 1985 Chevrolet. $11,500. The price of a 1985 Chevrolet. Number 25. The annual payments for the year. $3,564 times 26 years has a net loss over 30 years of $92,664. Did you get that, boys and girls? When you buy a house for $50,000 at 6% interest with a conventional loan, over 30 years, the net loss is $92,000. Now, you got a $50,000 house, and you're going to lose double that, or about $100,000. Well, so much for home ownership. Now, you see, here in America, we Americans believe. We believe in real estate like we believe in Jesus. And I think your belief in Jesus is probably better taken than your belief in real estate. Because if you have a house and you're making payments on it, every year that goes by, you are losing money. And that's because the purchasing power of the dollars that you're paying today are diminishing. And in the period from 1960 to 2000, in that 40-year period, you were losing money at the rate of 4.7% a year to inflation. The answer to the riddle is this. The break-even point on the business transaction was 5 years. You see, the $5,000 down equaled the two Chevrolet automobiles. And the $3,564, that equals the $300 a month times 12 months is $3,600 a year. So, you paid $3,600 a year for the first 5 years. That's 1955, 56, 57, 58, and 59. In those 5 years, you paid more money out in purchasing power than you got back when you sold the house for $250,000, paid your cost of goods sold, and netted $46,000. Boys and girls, the break-even point on the $46,000 is 11, 22, 33, 44. Can you count? 4 years later was the break-even point. Every year thereafter for 26 years, that $3,600 that you paid was money down a rat hole. Gone. Lost forever. It was like burning up airplane gas, which is very, very pleasurable. I think burning up airplane gas is just about as pleasurable as a trip down to Flo's Whorehouse. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but there's no money in it. No money in it. So there's the story on housing. There's the story on real estate. Now, Americans have a dream, like Martin Luther King. They have a dream of living in the suburbs on a lot with a house on it and a mortgage. And they work all of their lives to fulfill that dream, so that they can buy one house for themselves and two houses for the banker. Now, you know, if you'd learn how to count, boys and girls, you could join with the Jews over here and own six houses free and clear, rather than one house that you paid for three to own. I mean, it's your choice. It's up to you. Hey, word about the halfway point. So I'm going to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you would like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, if you'd like to order one of those, then please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and we often recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors and publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. But they should. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct here at 417-273-4967. All right, now I said when we began our exercise here that I never met a Christian that could count, and I never met a Jew that couldn't. Although I did meet one Jew, just one, that had a mortgage. And other than that, I never knew that a Jew had a mortgage. This is the only one. He seemed like a pretty intelligent young man, and I didn't think he was brain dead, nor that he was brain damaged in some way, but he had a mortgage. For a Jew, that's very unusual. And the Jews are very astute people who can count. Christians, on the other hand, are not very astute, and they cannot count. And that's the purpose of today's exercise, is to teach Christians to count. And I promise I won't go to the Old Testament, so you can listen to this. Now, here's what the trick to this whole thing is. The trick is what we call compounding. It's called the magic of compounding, and there's a rule that's called the rule of 72. So take another piece of paper here, boys and girls. We're now going to learn the rule of 72 and the magic of compounding. And the way this game is played begins with a story. Once upon a time, long ago and far away, there was a little boy who was given the assignment by his daddy to take the family horse into town to the farrier, also known as the horseshoe man, the blacksmith, to have the horse shod, as they sometimes say in Kentucky. And so the little boy took the horse into town. He rode the horse, actually. And when he got into the blacksmith, he said, need to have the horse shoed. And the blacksmith said, well, you're lucky. Today we have a special. Now, this is back in the olden days when a dollar was a dollar, and it cost $12 to shoe a horse. Now, 12 bucks back in the olden days was a god-awful lot of money, because a man worked for a dollar a day. It cost 12 days' labor to shoe that horse. That's why most people didn't shoe their horses. They run them barefoot. But anyway, the blacksmith says, now we got a special, we're having a sale here. What we're going to do is this, I'm going to give you the horseshoe. So the blacksmith, probably a Jewish blacksmith, gave the boy the four horseshoes. He said, they're free of charge, no cost to you whatsoever. This is called a lost leader. Now the little boy is standing there holding the horseshoes in his hand. He says, wow, boy, is this my lucky day. Now, this little boy's a Christian. He can't count. And probably, you know, had he been a 12-year-old Jewish boy, he would have said, wait a minute. You know, where's the hook in this bait, blacksmith? But this was a little Jewish boy, a little Christian boy, and he didn't know about the bait, you know, and about the hook that's in the bait. And so he took the horseshoes, and the blacksmith then laid this story on him. He says, I'm going to charge you one penny for the first nail. There's 32 nails, 8 nails to a shoe. One penny, that's all you have to pay me out of your $12 for the first nail. Then we'll double that to 2 pennies for the second nail and 4 pennies for the third nail. And we'll just double it each time until we get to 32. And then you can take the change and go down and buy ice cream. And the little boy was just beside himself with his good fortune. Here he is standing here with the four horseshoes free of charge. No cost to you whatsoever, son. And he only has to pay a penny for the first nail. And there's only 32 nails. And the kid's sitting there counting his profits. And he's saying to himself, oh my God, I don't know how much money I'm going to have, but boy, it's going to be a bunch. So he says, well, of course I'll take that deal. Thank you very much, Mr. Blacksmith. This is the banker saying to you, oh, this is Henry Paulson saying, you want to save your home? Huh? Call 1-800-995-HOPE. 1-800-995-HOPE. If you want to stay in your home, call this number today so we can help you stay in your home. All right. That's for Christians. Now, here's your exercise, boys and girls. Here's your homework assignment. Why don't you take that piece of paper you got in front of you there. Remember, we got this 32 nails over here, four free horseshoes. I want you to write 1 to 32 down here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. You Christians can handle this. It's arithmetic. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you do that? Can you do that all the way up to 32? You can do that now. If you've been past the third grade now, you Christians out there can count to 32. All right. And then I want you to put an equal sign past each one. Can you do that? Equal. Now, this is a little trickier. This is where the higher finance comes in, higher mathematics. Ordinarily, only Jews can do these higher mathematics. But I'm gonna test you Christians out there and see if you can do this. Remember, I already told you, I said there's no money to be made on a house. So if you're out here buying houses now and selling them, you know, you get your hit up the wrong end. Now, there's real estate brokers, they make money. There's building contractors, they make money on real estate. There's real estate salesmen, they make money on real estate. You know, and I told you that. You go into Harrah's and Harrah's makes money, the croupier makes money, the bar girl makes money, the whores make money, the players lose their ass. And when you buy a house, you know, the builder makes money, and the broker makes money, the banker makes money, and the buyer loses his ass. Every time. No exceptions. No exceptions here. All right, now, I've got a Sharp EL1197G3 sitting on my desk, and I'm going to give you some of the answers coming right out of the chute. Now, listen to this. Number one is 1 cent, so you're right. A point, that's a dot, 0.01, that's 0.01, that's 1 penny. And then we're going to double that. Number two is 0.02. And then number three is 0.04. Number four is 0.08. Number five is 0.16. Number 6 is number 32. Number 7 is 0.64. Number 8 is 1.28. Number 9 is 2.56. And number 10 is going to be 2.56. And then that's 5. Let's see if I can do this higher math here. Looks like $5.12 to me. All right, first 10 numbers. Now, this is called geometric progression. Every Jew past the age of 18 months can do this trick. Jews are very, very astute with numbers. And remember, Jews learn to count by geometric progression. This is the trick now. I'm giving you a revelation here. You go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, $1.28. $2.56, $5.12, and now we're going to come to number 11. Now, number 11 is $10.24. So I'm going to plug that into my calculator here. Here's 10.24 times 2 equals $20.48. That's number 12. And if you'll just hit times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, so just 2 times, and you'll come to $40.96. I mean, if you get upscale, and you've got a calculator. Now, most of you Christians out there will have a calculator. This is number 13 here. 13 is $40.96, and then you got number 14, and then, we just go times 2, and that'll take us up to $81.92. Can you do that? $81.92. Okay, that's number 14. Now remember, the cost of this the shoeing operation here was $12. You could get 4 horseshoes and 32 nails plus labor for $12. On number 14, we're up to $81.92. So it's pretty obvious by now the little boy, like Christians buying houses, has lost his hiney. But we don't know how much he's lost yet, do we? Because we haven't got out here to 32. But at 14, he's lost 81.92. Let's just do this. Let's go to the halfway point. Number 15 is 163.84. Number 16 is 327.68. All right, now, boys and girls, if you're following instructions there at your home but next to your radio, you should have 1 through 32 written on the left-hand margin of your paper. Since there's only 30 lines on the paper, you'll have to move to the middle of the paper and write out number 30, 31, 32, 33, 30, Now, remember, we only need to go to 32. 32 will do it. 32. And when you get down here to number 32, the number is going to be $40 million. That's $40 million. Can you say $40 million, boys and girls? That's a 40 with 6 zeros behind it. Isn't that just real special? That's the magic of geometric progression. Now, here's what happens with a Ponzi scheme, and here's where the world's economy is today. Franklin Roosevelt started the process off with House Joint Resolution 192 back in 1933 by pulling in all the gold. He told all of you people out there, bring your gold in, take it to the bank. And he started printing money. And in those days, the United States debt was about $2 billion. $2 billion, that's 2 with 9 zeros after. It's a big number. And today, the national debt is about 10 with 12 zeros behind it. That's an even bigger number. That's called trillion, spelled with a T, trillion, $10 trillion. It ain't quite there yet, but it's on its way. Now, the next number from 10 trillion is 20 trillion, 40 trillion, 80 trillion, 160 trillion, and so on down the line. That's called the magic of compounding. And that's why you always lose your hiney because of geometric progression. And this is why God told you not to pay usury and interest. This is why there is a statutory prohibition which is enforced with the death penalty for practicing usury and interest. It's a capital felony to practice usury and interest. Now, all you good Christians out there going to church every week, you've also signed up for the church building fund. Do you remember that? Remember when the deacon, that nice fellow in the pinstripe suit, he passed you a card one day, said, well, won't you sign up for the building fund? How much can you pledge for the church building fund? And then the board of deacons and the preacher, they went down to the banker and they signed a contract. They signed a mortgage on the church, the building fund. Do you remember that? And you're pledging $10 a week, $40 a month. Do you remember that, Bob? All right. See, that preacher over there, had he been reading the Old Testament, he would have found out that it's against the law to practice usury and interest, and when he got to Ezekiel 18, he'd found out it was a capital felony. But them Christians, you know, they don't read the Old Testament. They only read the New Testament. So they missed that. They're following Jesus so hard, they missed what Jesus told them. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he cited that from, I promised you I wouldn't cite the Old Testament in this broadcast. But it was cited, well, I can't say it. It's from the, well, you know, that dirty word, the Old Testament. That was Jesus. He was quoting from the Old Testament. Do you know he did that 435 times? Yeah, about half the New Testament is cited directly from the Old Testament. 435 of them. I don't know why you people out there thought the Old Testament was abolished and done away with. The early New Testament writers didn't know that. Well, I guess it's because none of them went to seminary. None of them come out with letters after their names, and so they didn't understand the Bible because they didn't go to college so they could learn about Jesus and the Bible, you know. So that's why we have a law in the Bible that says don't practice usury and interest, and that's because it will bury you in debt, and the debtor is servant to the lender. Can you remember that, boys and girls? The debtor is servant to the lender. And when you borrow money, you enter into a guardian-ward relationship. Guardian and ward. I used to have one of those. When I was 5 years old, I had a guardian. He was my daddy. And my daddy was a very nice man. I loved him. He was a great guy. And my daddy was my guardian. And he was a dictator. Yes, sir, my daddy was a dictator. He was just like Saddam Hussein and Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan all wrapped up into one. I mean, he was a brutal, merciless dictator. Actually, he viewed himself more in the role of a king. He called himself King Edward. My mother was called Queen Mildred. Queen Mildred. And I was called the subject in a guardian-ward relationship in which my daddy told me he makes the laws, my mother administers the laws, and I sit down, shut up, and do what I'm told. That's the subject. All right. Now, with that much in mind now, when you go down to the bank and you float a loan, that's kind of a euphemism we use here in the United States, float a loan. I'm not quite sure where that came from, but the banker loans you money, then he becomes your master and you become his servant. It's a master-servant relationship. We do this with our credit cards. We do this with our mortgages. We do this with our automobiles. Now, we get to drive around in nice new cars, and we get to live in nice big houses, but we don't own them. And as long as we pay the interest, and as long as we pay the payments, someday we'll get to own them. After we buy one house for the banker, after we buy one house for ourselves and two houses for the banker, had that backwards, you get one house, he gets two, then you can have your one. And people go out and they borrow money and they go down and they buy second houses and third houses and then they invest in real estate syndications to make profit and gain. They want to make profit. Boys and girls, there isn't any profit in this game. In fact, you'll make more money playing the crap table than you will in real estate playing this game. Or put another way, you won't make any money on the crap table, but you won't lose as much as long as you stay off the field. Just stay on the line, front side or back side, and you'll lose less money on the crap table than you will playing real estate. I can't tell you how to play the horses because I'm not really skilled at playing the horses, but by God, I can play the crap table, and I know what the odds are. and I know what the odds are here. Now, here's what the trick is in all of this. Have you ever heard of inflation? Inflation. See, remember this house we bought for $50,000, we sold it for $250,000, and we thought that we made a $200,000 profit. We didn't make a $200,000 profit. And that's because every year there's a 4.7% inflation tax that we're all paying. And that's called higher prices. And that tax is collected by the stores that we go in to buy the goods and services that we all buy. For instance, when I was a kid, you went in to get a tooth filled, it was $5. Five silver dollars. Today, when you go in to get your tooth filled, it's $105. $105. How much is that? Let me see. 105 divided by 5 is 21. Oh my God! It now costs 21 times more to get your tooth filled today than it did in 1955. 21 times more. Now, are you making 21 times more money today than you did in 1955? Well, remember the guy that was working over at Mutual Plywood for $12,000 a year? Now, I got to tell you, that was a good job. That was one of those high-paying jobs. That was a job like working at General Motors. I mean, that's top scale. I mean, you've arrived. I mean, that's better than total disability on Social Security. 12,000 a year. Let's multiply that times 21. Boys and girls, in today's dollars, you have to be making $252,000 a year to live as well as Richard Van Pelt's daddy did in 1955, driving a 1955 Oldsmobile. And by the way, Richard Van Pelt's daddy paid cash for that 1955 Oldsmobile, and it was $3,500. $3,500 cash. Boys and girls, are you making $252,000? Well, let me tell you where I started to work. I was making $250 a month and board and room at Frank Roach's. Now, board and room was equal to your wages. It's $500 a month. So I'm getting $500 a month milking cows, working for Frank Rocha. Times 12 months a year is $6,000 a year. I'm making half as much money as the big boys are making over here at Mutual Plywood. $6,000 times 21. Boys and girls, I got to be making $126,000 a year. Today, $126,000 a year to live as well as I did when I was 15 years old, milking cows for Frank Rocha. The median average income here in the United States is $48,000 a year single, $57,000 a year for a married couple. Boys and girls, we are not making as much money. The inflation tax is eating our lunch. So when you come to school here, we have a school called the Business School. And I run people through. This is just one portion of Chapter 37 of the business school. We teach you about how to count. We have amortization tables over here. I worked out all the numbers here. I got one of those amortization books, and I show you how much money you're paying in principal and how much money you're paying in interest. You Christians have never seen one of those. Amortization. Can you say amortization? No, probably not. Jews learn to read from amortization tables. At age 6, every little Jewish boy is given a book called an amortization table. Christians can't even say it. Little Jewish boys learn to read. Little Christian boys used to learn to read from the Bible. And when we learn to read from the Bible, we learn that interest and usury was a crime. And then when the little Jewish boy came over and said, "Would you like to buy a house?" We said, "No, no, little Jewish boy, go away, you little criminal. We are not going to pay usury and interest." And the little Jewish boy left sad. That was in the first grade when Abraham Lincoln was going to school. He learned to read from the Bible. If we learned to read from the Bible, we would have known about usury and interest, wouldn't we, boys and girls? And then we wouldn't be in the kind of fix that we're in today. All right, well, now you've learned how to count. Now, the reason that I brought this story up here for you is because in our subsistence and survival school, you know, the great ship America has already hit the iceberg. The world's economy is going into another Great Depression like we did in the 1930s. And it's unrolling, it's unraveling, just like it did in the 1780s, just like it did in the 1930s, just like it is right now in the 2007 to about 2017 period. So over the next 10 years, we're going to go through a very debilitating period of economic history. And people are calling me here at the law school and they're saying, "Oh my God, Mr. Gordon, what am I going to do? I'm going to fly my airplane in and have you support me for the rest of my life." I told you about that guy, the doctor. Nice guy, I'm sure. Never met the man, but I'm sure that he can do something for himself. And one of the first things that you need to do, boys and girls, is stop paying usury. Can you say usury, boys and girls? It's a capital felony for which there's other penalties as well, called poverty and loss of all of your property. Now, you can listen to your God that tells you, don't pay usury, or you can listen to Henry Paulson who says, call 1-800-995-HOPE so we can keep you in your home paying usury an interest so that you can buy one house for yourself and two houses for the bankers. You know, it's your choice in life. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. That telephone number again is 1-800-995-HOPE for continued slavery. Call today. Won't you? Save Wall Street. Save the financial institutions of America. For God's sake, don't obey God and keep His commandments. You never have in the past. Why should you now? Or why should you in the future? But when this comes down around your neck, boys and girls, now you'll know why. It's because you never learned how to count. All right, we're out of time again. Just when you're having fun. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, God willing. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. So until then, good night, friends.